Hyvää iltaa, hyvät kuulijat. Tämä on Helsingin AA-radio. Good evening. This is the AA Radio of Helsinki. Seuraava keskustelu on tallennettu heinäkuun lopulla 2018 Vilnassa, Liettuassa. Siellä järjestettiin 9. Europaa, eli eurooppalaisten nuorten AA-laisten konventti. Keskustelu käytiin englanniksi. The discussion we are about to hear was recorded in the end of July 2018 in Vilnius, Lithuania, during the 9th Europa, which is the convention for European young people in AA. The discussion was held in English. Jos tahdot lisätietoa AA:sta ja sen ratkaisusta alkoholismiin, voit vierailla nettisivuilla aa.fi, aahelsinki.fi ja aa.org. If you want to know more about AA and its solution to alcoholism, please visit the websites aa.fi, aahelsinki.fi and aa.org. Hello, this is AA Radio of Helsinki. My name is Joni and I am an alcoholic. It's 29th of July 2018. And we are having a Europa in Vilnius, Lithuania. With me I have 4 members of AA. And we are going to talk about AA, alcoholism, Europa, recovery, all sorts of things. And let's start. Can you tell us something about yourself and where are you from? And is this your first time in Europa, here in Vilnius?
My name is Israel, and I'm an alcoholic. I live in Jerusalem, Israel. I'm originally from the United States. I've been sober since the 14th of February, 1980. I was 16 when I came to AA. I have a special feeling for young people's, in that the second meeting I ever went to was a young people's meeting, and I was 16. I was a young person. Over the years, though, my life, as one will do if they don't die, I've gotten older and I'm not so young anymore. I still feel a strong connection to young people's, and we from Israel had put in a bid to try and bring this conference to Israel next year, which we lost, but we feel good about our bid and good about what we did, which is what I've learned in AA is the point. And I'll stop there for now.
Yeah, I'm Julia. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm from Berlin, Germany. And my sobriety date is September 23rd, 1985. I got sober when I was 20 years old. I'm 52 now. I'm 53 now and 22 years sober. No, 32 years. Oh, I got all confused with the numbers. 32 years sober. I've been going to AA all my adult life. Sometimes it has been looked as if I had joined a cult. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved my life. I was a desperate, very sick child. I also had anorexia, bulimia. I was a food addict, but drinking for me was doing the normal thing that every adult did. And I, drinking gave me the tools to do life on life's terms. I liked to drink because I felt normal and I didn't feel like a monster. However, it very quickly took over. I was also very quickly became a pill addict. I was addicted to Valium and Mogadan, which are, you know what, maybe you would just search it, look it up. And diet pills, which are amphetamines. And I thought that my life that I had was normal. I found AA in Paris. They were very dynamic, young group of English-speaking AA. At the time, in 1985, they welcomed me warmly, and I'd never wanted to leave again because the welcome was so warm and so cheerful. And the young people were amazing. I'd never seen young people like that, that were interested in me and that were looking at me and they were actually caring for me and didn't want, not that they wanted to sleep with me, but they just wanted me to be with them, and I never had anybody been that nice to me, and so I stayed because I was a bruised little animal, like one of those dogs you see on Facebook, and you find them under a bridge, broken and beaten and all bloody and lots of parasites and no hair. And I was, that's the way I felt. And I was taken in AA, and I was loved back to life. And in the first 5 years of my recovery, I still wanted to die. I was suicidal and I was desperate. And slowly, AA has given me the gift of wanting to live one day at a time. And it's really wonderful to want to live for somebody who has wanted to die and for whom life was very cheap. I had no problem with dying when I was using. I started to drink when I started to take pills when I was 8. Valium was my first pill. And I got addicted immediately, then diet pills with around 11 or 12. And I started to drink when I really started to drink when I was about 14. And I loved drinking because it did for me what nothing else could do. I think that's about it about young people. I grew up, you know, the whole of my sobriety was in Europe. I was in Paris. Then I moved to Germany and I found an army group at the time in southern Germany because the U.S. Army was stationed in southern Germany. So I was very lucky. There was big AA fellowship because, the local German fellowship was still quite old and it was hard to relate, but in the American meeting, there were a lot of GIs, and so that was we're all the same age, we're all kids. And then I had a long time where when the wall came down and where I had a very sort of a boring A life with adult groups, and I did my life. And then I moved to Berlin in 2000, and I discovered there was also their group, very dynamic fellowship, and somehow I had grown up, and now I'm feel like I'm a mommy of a lot of young people getting sober. But I was 60 years old when I got sober. That's how I felt. I felt like an old woman. I was tired. I had no energy. I was depressed, and I was old in my thoughts and very conservative. And I feel like with AA, as the years go by, I become fresher and younger every year. And I feel much younger with 52 or 53 years old now than I've ever felt before. And I feel like, AA is a spiritual journey. It says in our big book, it says that this program is a program that allows for limitless expansion. And I'm a very hungry girl. I've been starved. I'm still starved. And the starvation is for a spiritual awakening, is for spiritual stuff. In India, they say that the alcoholic is a spiritual person because they long for God. And my longing was not for alcohol or food. My longing was for God. And I find God in my fellow woman and fellow men, Alcoholics Anonymous, and in helping others, I find that I can live and I want to live and have a spiritual awakening, and it keeps getting better even after 32 years of sobriety. Things happen in my life that I don't even expect and I didn't even think I wanted, and they're given to me, and I said, oh man, this, I didn't know I needed or I was longing for this. And so I'm in for a trip. I'm looking for the next 33 years. I'm going to be there and I'm not dying yet. I don't want to die anymore.
Thank you.
My name is Barbara and I'm an alcoholic from Jerusalem, but originally from the States. And my sobriety date is August 13th of 2017. I came into the 12-step rooms at 19 and continued going in and out for a very long time. And I'm really grateful to be able to say that, like, I basically grew up inside of various 12-step programs, including AA. And I really value the young people in AA because it's what shows me that, like, being 22 and sober is not the end of my life, which it definitely has felt like. And I think it's been a really incredible experience to be in Vilnius with, like, almost 300 other people sober and just, like, having an amazing time. So, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Anthony. I have a sobriety date of October 18th, 2012. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I have a home group there. That's the Bellflower Big Book Group. We meet weekly, 5 times a week on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you're ever in the LA area, come on by. I found there a primary purpose for myself and a common solution. It's an honor and privilege to participate in my sobriety, so thank you for asking me to do this today. I have seen that there is something truly amazing happening here in Europe with Yuripa. I've seen this weekend just 300 or 400 young sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous, people, some under the age of 20, some over the age of 20, some over the age of 30, but with years of sobriety, talking about the steps and talking about sponsorship, you know, talking about the solution to alcoholism, and it's really a beautiful thing, which I have observed. I got sober when I was 15 years old. My first time I went to AA, I was just 14 years old, and I went to AA. I was drunk, and I was high. That's the type of alcoholic that I am. I'm an alcoholic who has a whole lot of other problems also, and, you know, and I'm a dual diagnosis alcoholic, and whatever that means to you, I can tell you what it means to me. It means I'm a little bit twisted. I'm an alcoholic whose alcoholism led me to do a whole bunch of things that I never thought that I would do before. So I went to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 14 years old. I was drunk, I was high, and I went there really to make an ass of myself, but I heard a message, I guess you call it the language of the heart, and I thought it was a very cool thing that you guys were sober and living life sober, but I decided it just wasn't for me. However, flash forward about 8 or 9 months, alcohol had beaten me into submission, and I was surrendered by alcohol, and I got sober then, October 18th, 2012, and since then, I haven't felt the need to pick up a drink or a drug since then, and you know, I don't believe that AA has given me sobriety, but I believe that AA has given me a way of living in which I can live sober, free from the obsession of alcohol and free from the bondage of myself. And so that, you know, I'm very, very grateful to be sober and being able to participate in my sobriety today. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question. What actually is Yuripa, and what's the definition or what's the origins of Yuripa? Israel, can you tell us?
Well, I mean, I Yuripa is the European Young People's NAA Conference. It's a gathering of young people from Alcoholics Anonymous from throughout Europe. It seems to have a pull. The eastern part of Europe seems to pull. The northeastern part of Europe seems to pull harder than the west. We're here from Israel. We're not really technically part of continental Europe. You may have noticed if you looked at a globe in your sobriety. And but we're here, and the board last year voted to, for the purposes of Yuripa, to include Israel, which we're grateful for and happy about. I mean, I think in general, young people's conferences are an opportunity to meet other young sober people. Conferences in general are a chance to meet other sober people. I've always kind of looked at them like, you know, a retreat, going for the essence, a kind of replenishing the battery and replenishing the soul, and getting, you know, the fire and the juice going so that we can go back to our lives and hopefully bring this deeper and more fully into our lives. You know, next week I can be a better worker and a better father and a better sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous in my own community with my my three meetings and my guys and my people, and, you know, because for all my sobriety, since I started going to conferences, these things just fire me up, and I just, you know, I just want to rechannel that energy and take that boost and take that replenishment, you know, my spiritual replenishment. I've always longed for deeper, more authentic, you know, the book says, you know, frothy emotional appeals rarely suffice. This message has to have depth and authenticity. That's a misquote from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but go read the book. You may find
where I misquoted it from. But this isn't just a frothy emotional appeal. I've realized that early on in my sobriety. There's certainly a sense of that, like we're going to be turned out on the street later in the afternoon to sell real estate. But at the end of the day, we're here taking care of each other. We're keeping our eye out for the person that's uncomfortable, that's sad. Our friend Julia, I saw, was comforting someone when she was pulled away to come here. I saw her reluctance to leave that young woman's side. That's what this is all about. It's not about us sitting around being recorded for, you know, our moment on Helsinki Radio, as much as that is important to all of us. And it's really about taking care of the sick and suffering alcoholic and continually reprioritizing what that means.
Thank you. Last night there was the bid for the next Europa. I think you had something to do with that. Can you tell us shortly about that too?
Well, as I alluded to, last year we put in a token bid. Brandon, one of our guys, put in a token bid after the board voted to include Israel as a part of Europa for the purposes of Europe, for the purposes of this convention. He came back to Israel. We had a great year. We put together a really fantastic bid. We found a location. We found alternate locations. We figured out things. We had events. We started talking about, you know, Israel is a small fellowship. It's alcoholism is kind of stigmatized still in Israel pretty strongly. People are afraid to let people know that they're sober alcoholics. People don't want people to know that, you know, we have a tremendous alcohol problem and a drug problem. We have the challenges of having meetings in three languages, it's kind of the challenge of Europe is how do we translate, you know, the AA that came from Akron, so let's say, our Mecca. And how do we translate it into the local language? You know, I heard Michelle, one of the board members, say, you know, many of the fellowships in Europe started before they had literature in their own language. And they think it's about sitting around talking about how they feel, you know, and that's an interesting analogy. I think there's some truth to that for us. And so but also the challenges of having meetings in Russian and Hebrew and English and the challenges of having a large minority population and how do we work to include them? And I always say to my wife, you know, Jerusalem's the city the size of San Francisco. San Francisco has over 500 meetings a week. Why don't we? She says, you're in English is a second language here. How many Spanish language meetings do they have in San Francisco every week? It's an interesting challenge. I don't know, but those are some of the challenges we have. We put together a great bid. The board couldn't decide. They apparently voted four times and couldn't decide. It was brought to the whole conference. If that's not I believe in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe in the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe that was an informed group conscience. If I don't believe that's God's will, what am I doing here? You know, so God's will went. This is an example where Israel's will and God's will do not align. And what I've learned here is that I'm to align my will with God's will. I'll come to the conference next year. I'll pre-register right now, and I'll go home and I'll say we had a great bid. How can we make it better?
Thank you. There have been many interesting meetings taking place during this weekend. Are there any specific themes or ideas that you heard that you find interesting?
Sure. Julia, alcoholic. So first let me say one thing about the Young People's Convention before I get into it. What's different? For me, I was 10 years sober when I went to San Diego at the World Convention, and I had always been in a relatively, first the young people in Paris, but then my AA groups were relatively old. And I went to San Diego and I met a group of young people in AA there, and I was taken, for me it was like being taken like a wave of energy and joy and power. And I think young people have a different story with Alcoholics Anonymous and a different need, because people get sober when they're 40, they have their lives made, they're in a relationship, they have their job, and young people are just starting in their lives and they have nothing made. So there's an incredible, like, there's an incredible power and an incredible joy, and also I think really, really the power to move mountains. And I love this. And I met these people in San Diego. And I said, I wish I could be part of this power. It was so much fun, but also so much responsibility and so much health. It's the insanity and the craziness and the power of youth with a desire to, for construction, to make something happen and to construct a life that is good and not a life that destroys. And for me, it's, ever since 95, I've missed young people. And then I'm old. I don't need them anymore. But I love the power. There's a power that moves mountains with young people, with this enthusiasm. And I love this enthusiasm. I've always had this enthusiasm because the enthusiasm is such an engine in my life. As for conferences and the topics, everybody always loves the sex topic. It's always full because sex is a big taboo, and sex is a big, big issue for alcoholics because we all bruised and most of us have spent years drinking and having drunk sex. If we haven't had sex, we've had, that's very rare that we haven't had sex. But there's a lot of abuse, there's a lot of incest, there's a lot of really destruction that's together with sex. And it says in AA, we try to build a sane and sound sex ideal. And many of us need to completely review our attitude towards sex. Most of us were starved emotionally, starved physically, and we thought that sex would, we all think that sex will fix our incredible sense of abandonment and our incredible sense of this neediness of being needed and wanted and loved. And with AA, we slowly heal, and we need to go to these sex meetings to find who we are sexually. Are we, in AA, it's very modern. There's a very modern text in the big book about sexuality. It asks us, either we go, some of us want to go on a straight pepper diet, which means a lot of sex all the time, or no flavor for their fare. So it's not about how much sex you have, but it's about learning to have a healthy attitude towards sex, about consent, about responsibility, about knowing what I want. And it takes time and pain. Recovery from alcoholism is painful. It says that somewhere in the literature that pain is the touchstone to progress. The thing is, when you have something that is as deadly as a disease of alcoholism, which is a disease that kills, this is why it's such a miracle that we're all alive. And this is why AA is also so intense. And this is why sometimes it looks like a cult from outside, because it is a disease that takes everything. It takes your life. It takes your loved one. It takes your job. It takes your talents. And for young people who have spent, I mean, for me, my adolescent life, from 12 to 18, I was completely out. I wasn't present. I had no adolescence. So it's really weird to be sober all of a sudden with 20 and then to have not lived. And so there is this this hunger and this definition. So we need to talk about sex. So the sex meeting is also really, really important. But also the women's meeting, for example. Yesterday at the women's meeting, there was so much pain about young mothers having children and being abusive to their children. And we dealt with that and we talked about it, because just because you sober up a drunken horse thief doesn't mean that you don't have, you'll have a sober horse thief, and that's a better thief. And just because you're sober doesn't mean that your actions change. There's a lot of healing and a lot of help that we need to construct, a protective wall for these women to be safe enough to be able to heal and to stop being the women that their mothers maybe or their fathers were to them, so we can actually have a generation of children in AA that get another sense of family and another sense of growing up without the abuse. But it doesn't happen just out of nothing. It takes a lot of work and a lot of pain and a lot of love. So as for the women's meeting, when a woman shares, has the courage, an incredible courage, to share her pain and to share the fact that she's beating her child, and other women respond immediately, not with shame and not with condemnation, but with understanding, with identification. we go on and say, well, I've been there and I can show you how to get out of that. I can show you it's difficult to heal from that, but you can do it. And then the hope comes in again, and then she's not alone anymore in her shame, because it's the worst thing for a mother is to admit, or for a parent, but I'm a woman, so I talk about mothers, is to admit that this is actually happening, and then you can eat. But only when you admit what the destruction can you actually heal from it. So, for example, that was a theme that really moved me, and the way I feel compelled, because I have two children, and obviously I'm not, you know, they're adults now, but the hope is really, and I can see it with my kids, to raise really healthy kids. My kids talk about emotions and about their feelings in a way that I've never been able to talk in their age. They're so competent and they're so eloquent and they're so healthy, but it took a lot of work. And being sober is work. Being sober is hard work. And you have to reach out all the time and you have to give all the time, but it's really worth it. And so, for example, that was two meetings. I talked for a long time. But this is what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Hello, this is AA Radio of Helsinki from Vilnius, Lithuania, Europa 2018. And with me I have four members of AA: Israel, Julia, Barbara and Anthony. Barbara, are there any specific themes here on this weekend that interest you? Can you tell us something about that? And also, if you want to share something about your story, please tell us.
Sure. My name is Barbara and I'm an alcoholic. And I think a theme that really stuck out to me this weekend was just like the sheer amount of vulnerability that comes up in meetings, and the fact that people can stand up in front of essentially 200 strangers and tell their story without apology, without fear of being judged, and without any of that, because like Israel said, it is so stigmatized in Israel that like I don't tell my friends where I go when I go to meetings. Like, it's not, they don't understand. So it's, I think that's the biggest theme for me. Like, I don't think it was one specific meeting or one specific conversation. I think it was just like the overall, like, we're in this together. We've been there. We see you sort of feeling. My story, I originally came into a different 12-step fellowship on the East Coast of the United States, and moved to Israel pretty early in my sobriety, and then spent a good amount of time going into the rooms and out of the rooms and trying different sponsors and different things to like try and maintain sobriety that never really worked. And I managed to find a sponsor who lives in London and also happens to be here this weekend, which is a really special thing for me. And who like got sober young, is still young. And I think that's made a really big difference in my story and in my journey, that like I can be like, I want to go out with my friends and I want to do things. And she understands that and can help me figure out how best to manage that. And I don't know, it's been a really great weekend. So
are you coming back to Europa?
Yeah, I wish, like, of course it'd be nice if Israel had won the bid, but I firmly believe that, like, AA goes where AA is needed, and the group conscience came that Spain needed it this year, and I have no doubt in my mind that I will be going to Spain in a year, so, yeah.
Thanks. Anthony, what do you think about this weekend so far?
My name is Anthony. I'm an alcoholic. As I had previously mentioned, you know, I observed something really, really unique and really, really wonderful that's happening here in continental Europe. And that is that this Europa convention, this is, by the way, my first Europa convention, you know, but I have observed that this Europa convention, with alcoholics coming from all over the world and all over Europe, there is a very, very true, strong message of recovery and a very strong understanding of what the Alcoholics Anonymous program is about. Everyone here, you know, be it that this is my first Yuripa and that I'm from the United States, everyone here has been so welcoming and so loving to me. I believe that I've already made friends for life here, and the Swedish community and the English community have both welcomed me in, and I feel very close to everyone that I've met. And, you know, I guess what I'm really, really just blown away with the most is the young people here in Europe are the ones that have it figured out. You know, they're the ones that are carrying the message. They're the ones that are sponsoring the people. They're the ones working the steps. Here's a fact for you. I mean, if you suffer from the disease of alcoholism, if you think you have this thing, there's only one thing that's been proven to really show long-term sobriety. Long-term sobriety for alcoholism, and that is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I've observed here at Yuripa is a very, very strong awareness of this fact. And that message of AA is being carried here in Vilnius, Lithuania, Berlin, Germany, Helsinki, Finland, Prague, you know, all over Europe. You know, the young people are figuring it out. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you. We still have some time left. Last spring, we had a big convention in Finland. Finnish AA celebrated its 70th anniversary. And we also have guests from United States. And we have one from the staff of General Service Office, Mary. And I got to interview her and Newton from US, who is I never remember it, but anyway, he does service internationally, and I asked them about this young people movement, and they said, Mary said that yeah, it's been very important from the beginning that Bill W. He has changed letters with the young people's movement, and it was new information for me that it was even from the start the young people were separate from the others. Do you know anything about the history of yeah?
I guess I can speak a little bit to that. I mean, one thing that's very unfortunate is there is a strong stigma, at least in the United States, that is surrounding the young people community and the young people of Alcoholics Anonymous community. But, you know, another thing is, you know, Bill Wilson has writings going back, you know, to the very first ICIPA that, you know, the young people are the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I've been trying to say is the young people are the one, we're carrying the message, we're working the steps. I mean, this is the future of Alcoholics Anonymous, and if this is the future, I believe that the future is in good hands. And in my experience being involved in young people in AA over the last 6 years, I have been very, very touched to see really the full support of the American General Service Office. Never once have I really ever seen any of the General Service areas or the General Service Office hesitate to throw their support behind any of the young people's committees. You know, it really, there's just a great deal of misunderstanding in the general AA public, and that's my opinion. But I believe it's up to us and up to all of us to really kind of bridge that gap and attack that stigma and make sure the right information is getting out.
Thank you. You mentioned ICIPA. What's that?
ICIPA is the International Convention of Young People of Alcoholics Anonymous. Though some would argue that it's really not international, as it's only been held in the United States. But it's a young people's conference that's been going on for, I believe, over 60 years now. And it's just a very, very wonderful, wonderful conference where young people come from all over the world in huge numbers to, you know, have fun together. You know, I had the privilege of attending my first ICIPA in 2013 in Phoenix, Arizona, where I got to see a gentleman from Uganda, Africa, speak about AA in Uganda. I mean, AA in Uganda, how cool is that? You know, but I've gotten to meet sober alcoholics from all over the world, Japan, Europe, Africa. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I would encourage anyone to do some more information on that and check that out.
Thank you. Julia, do you have anything on your mind that you want to say?
Yeah, Julia Alcoholic. I want to read the letter of Bill W. to the Young People's Conference that he wrote in 1969. So that is how many years ago? 50 years ago when the movement started. In a letter to IKIPA dated June 15, 1969, Bill W. wrote, "In recent years, I have found nothing for greater inspiration than the knowledge that AA of tomorrow will be safe and certainly magnificent in the keeping of you who are the younger generation of AA today." I think one characteristic or symptom of alcoholism is separation, to separate. This is why one of our principles is unity. Unity, service, recovery are the three sides of the triangle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Without unity, there's no recovery. And without service, there's no unity. And we are very careful to keep AA united. Those of us who are sort of the AA members, the general AA members, and we work towards unity. And every time both sides criticize each other, being the young people criticizing the old meetings or the old meetings criticizing the young people, there's always fear and projection and unknown. So what we try to work very hard, and any time that in AA these preconceived ideas or these projections take place, is to invite each other to participate in the conferences, to see what's going on, and to see there's not a new AA that's invented. It's the same AA, just with different, maybe different people or younger people that have maybe a slightly different needs or have more energy. What annoys older AA, for example, is young people are incredibly undisciplined when during how it works, we read at every meeting is read, and they yell comments and different how do you call that, what they do, they just
chants
and yeah. So it's a very joyful and a little crazy and situation. If you never heard how it works like this, and for somebody who's grown up in a more traditional AA, it seems like almost like sin or sinful or iconoclastic, and then the older people learn, oh, it's just young people having fun, and it doesn't mean that they're not working the steps. It doesn't mean that they didn't almost die to come here, and it doesn't mean that they're not completely committed to this program of recovery. And and the same thing for the young people going to the older meetings is they're old, they don't understand me. But a lot of young people just like me have grown up in an AA that was relatively old, and there's always the same kind and the same love and the same dedication to the newly sober alcoholic. When that is not the case, which also sometimes happens, especially in those countries where the problems of translations have happened over the literature, and where the message gets sort of somehow diluted by an idea that AA is a group of a self-help group where you talk about your problems, then then the group is either dying or has to renew itself. And this is what's happening in a lot of European countries right now, just that there has been a crisis. A lot of the old AA has lost membership, but there's a new, thanks to the irrigation of the young people's conventions. What is great with the young people's convention is the dedication to making the local language, to include the local language, to include those that, because we, for example, we have people who translate translate in Russia and Lithuanian, and I think what there's in Polish translation. So this is where we where you go out. There's an outreach to people who actually don't speak English, so that also in these groups that don't have the benefit of speaking the language, that all there too get can reach by the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is very important because there is actually a crisis of in the local language, people, be it in France or I was in a tell me when I need to stop, okay, if I talk too long. For example, when I got sober in Paris in 1985, I went to the old French convention, which always takes place in November. And there were, at the Hotel Saint-Jacques, a whole weekend, about 3,000 people who attended. And 2 years ago, I went to the conference in November, again in Paris, and there were about 500 people, and the convention only took one meeting in the morning, a Sunday morning meeting. So that's how much a crisis has taken, for example, French A, the same with German A, the old German conference when I attended, like in 92 in Berlin or 93, I don't know exactly the same date, there were like 5,000-6,000 people. Today, our old German yearly conferences have about maximum 2,000 people. So, and that's due to a lack of translation, a lack of the literature. Often the big book has been translated by non-alcoholic people who have never worked the steps. And for example, a German, a very kind non-alcoholic priest, did the first translation. He loved AA, but he'd never worked the steps and he couldn't understand what it actually means. So it's very awkward, it's quite religious, and so people didn't want to read that book because they didn't understand it. But this is our main means of carrying the message. So the book wasn't read. I know people in German meetings in Berlin, where I do German big book studies in Berlin, and they say, and I talk to the big book, because they say they have problems. I say, well, you should read the big book, and there's a solution for you, like, for example, for fear, because I fear, I've got to go through therapy, which is also good therapy. I said, you know, there are solutions, there are tools for fear also in the program. And they say to me, I haven't opened my big book in 30 years. There's a saying, it's in America, but it's also in Europe, if you have a secret, put it in the big book because nobody reads it. And it's changing, but there's a lot of work ahead. But and this is actually the work that has to be done. When we're on the same page, we don't mind young people, we don't mind old people, we're just alcoholics trying to get sober, and age is completely irrelevant.
Thank you very much. I think this is it. Or do you want to say anything?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Johnny.